Hallelujah.
In these days, it is God's good will to call the church back to establishment in our ancient traditions as the body of Christ. We have individual functions in terms of purposes that God has given us to actualize upon the face of the earth. We also have corporate functions. There are things that we are expected to do on the corporate front. The situations and the circumstances at the moment calls for our faithfulness in our corporate ministry. First and foremost, it's needful to understand that that calling that we have as a people, that Jesus referred to when he said that his house was supposed to be called a house of prayer. There is no time more than now where we need to exercise that calling. And if you have been following our prayer sessions and our teachings, you will realize the intensity of what God intends to do. We stopped yesterday on a subject which is the language of supplication. The language of supplication. You may be seated. For those of you that are joining in online, you are most welcome. There is a skill that we need to develop in our capacity to persuade God to actualize His will, in our capacity to persuade God so that an intended judgment can be averted. There is a skill that we need to develop individually and corporately. While we studied briefly yesterday to give us perspective, we saw that prayer was in degrees. Prayer was in degrees. We saw how that there is a prayer of petition which affects you, which affects your context, which affects your situation. Then God begins to mobilize you to advance beyond that level, and you come to a time when you begin to engage intercession. And in intercession, you are engaging others, you are carrying other people's burdens, you are borrowing many vessels. And the vessels that you borrow, people's challenges, people's burdens, people's quagmires, becomes the object of your prosecution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then you migrate. You come to a point where, because of your consistency and your dedication to the art of intercession, God makes you one of the chartered supplicants of a territory. And you will find out that these chartered supplicants, like we saw in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14, these chartered supplicants happen to be very few in a generation. But the skill that is reserved in their hands is on the basis of the position of favor that they sustained before God. They can actually use that favor to manipulate the outcome of things, even in occasions where God is caught up in mighty wrath and vengeance. Still continuing in the language of supplication, because we saw some of the issues with which we can negotiate with God effectively. Some of the issues with which we can negotiate with God. How many of us remember the few issues, inclusive of those of you that are listening online that were participants in the last edition of our prayer session? How many of you remember those issues that can constitute your supplication language when seeking to engage God, seeking to get Him to move His hand in a certain way? There are several approaches and several items that have the capacity to draw God's attention in that regard. And we saw a few issues. Yes, if you are still present before we take off for tonight. How many of you still remember the issues? Yes? Okay, we don't remember the issues. Yes, Ayo, what do you remember about the issues? The reason why I'm seeking for feedback is because the purpose of the little teaching that we do in between the prayers that we are praying is to enable practice. We are not teaching for the purpose of teaching, we are teaching for the purpose of practice, and practice happens to be superior to learning. The understanding of God's calendar. If you have an understanding of God's calendar, that can be a premise of negotiating with God. It was David that said, "And thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." The basis of his asking God to arise was predicated on an understanding of the time. Right now is the time for revival. Corona is a distraction. And so we have grounds to ask, arise, and what? And have mercy upon Zion. Because this is a time to favor Nigeria. This is a time to favor Africa. So we cannot be crying for Corona when Corona is not a valid item on your agenda. Who remembers another point that can strengthen your vocabulary as you seek to persuade God to move his hand? Yes. Yes, you see, God has a policy. And God's policy is that he will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Anytime there is destruction, anytime there is famine, anytime there is pestilence, then there is a dichotomy. Because God, that's when you see that the way God treats the righteous is different from the way he treats the wicked. And so if you are making a negotiation, if you are coming up with a position, one of the items that should be contained in your proposition should be how that God will never destroy the righteous with the wicked. And I said, if you have a list of at least 550 righteous people, it's enough to save a city. And I think I know many more people, much more than 50. It means Makodi is up for salvation. That one person that they say in Benue is infected is up for healing. There will be no death situation in the Benue story. Because we have much more than 50 righteous people, and these people are preservatives as far as God's prosecution of justice is concerned. Are you still with me? Yes, can we get feedback from someone online before I proceed with the issues of the night? Issues of today, sorry. Yes, an online feedback. What are the items that can constitute our language as we prosecute the proceedings of supplication before our God? Prayer or supplication is the highest level of prayer. And you need some form of rank to operate in it as an individual. It is something that we can do corporately. There is some form of rank that you need to operate in it as an individual, as touching territorial issues, as touching national issues. You see, your scope is actually defined by your relevance in prayer engagement. Since God has committed this civilization to man, what we do is what determines what God can do. If we provide earthly permission, then God can manifest heavenly interference. It requires prayer, and supplication requires some form of stature, depending on the context that you find yourself. But when we talk about national supplicants, people like Elijah, that went to cry before God, and the effect of his cry was that rain was withheld, and he did that prayer all by himself. It takes some form of stature to be able to do national prayer to that level. When we hear in scripture that saviors will come out of Zion, we're actually referring to chartered people that have been given privileges before God because of the position of favor that they have in his presence. Turn your Bible to the book of Luke. We don't have a feedback from someone online today. Luke chapter 1. I still want to press us in the language of supplication before I move to a typical case of supplication, because three persuasive supplicants were mentioned in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14 from verse 12. Noah, Daniel, and Job. So we'll pick one out of these three supplicants, and then we'll take an inventory of their engagement and what their prayer engagements created, the turbulence that was created in the unseen realm, in the realm of the supernatural, in the heavens, and ultimately the possibilities that found expression on the strength of those engagements in the destiny of Israel. Now, if we lack supplicants, we are going to be in darkness. When we hear that saviors will emerge from Zion, many of us do not understand the context in which those saviors will emerge. The saviors we are talking about are actually men of rank that are measures of the hedge, keepers of the gap, people that have influence with God, that are great in His sight, that can move His hand, that can bring salvation to nations, to cities, and to territories. Yes, we have Brother David. He's participating online. He said one of the bases of, it's our intimacy with God, one of the bases of the platforms of our supplication is our intimacy with God. Because you can ask God to do something because of you. And you find that language littered in the Old Testament. You find that language littered in the Old Testament where you see people say, make statements like, if I have found grace in thy sight. That man is throwing his stature. He knows he has a position of favor with God. And the reason for which he is asking God to do the things he is requesting is on the basis of that which he has with God. You know, Peter made a statement. He said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have. There's something he has with God. That's what I want to give you. So in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Meanwhile, if you check the way Peter started the whole episode, you begin to wonder. He didn't say, look on Jesus. He said, look on us. Look on us. We have something from Jesus. There is something we have with Jesus. And on the strength of that, he sponsored his miracle. Hallelujah. Now, there are several times that people walked into God's presence and demanded that God should do certain things on the ground of what they have together. All right? So, that's one of the bases. And we are doing this detailed teaching so that supplication can eventually be part and parcel of our lifestyle. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Luke chapter 1. I just want to show you a scripture. Then we'll go into the teaching for the night. We give God the glory. We give God the glory. I don't know how authentic the messages I've received are. But the messages I received before I came here suggest that the French have found a cure to the plague. Well, we will wait to confirm that. From three different sources I found that, and the rate of recoveries since the past 3 days has been worthy of note. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1. Corona is not our portion in the name of Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 1, we see the fulfillment of a prophecy. And the fulfillment of this prophecy seems to occasion some utterances which have the capacity of educating us as to what and what was responsible for the move of God's sovereign hand. In Luke chapter 1, verse 67, this is Zechariah uttering his words after a protracted period of dumbness. And these were the first words that came out of his mouth after the great Sabbath his vocal cord had been subjected to by reason of the visitation of Angel Gabriel. And his father, Zacharias, filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and had raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. Now, you see, this is a visitation. Are you with me? And this prophecy is quite revealing, because the prophecy gives us perspective to understand what was responsible for the sovereign move of God's hand. And it is needful for us to understand that at this time we have already had 330 years of prophetic silence. The last prophet that prophesied, even Malachi, prophesied 330 years ago. So it's been a season of prophetic silence. And then suddenly we begin to see the sovereign move of God's hand. And this prophetic utterance seemed to give us perspective. One of the things that Zechariah said in this utterance, because that's what the Bible started by saying, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It means that what he was saying was not attributed to his wisdom, but it was the Holy Ghost that carried him. In the utterances that came from him, we see some highlights. And the first highlight was that God was moving because of what he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. So prophecies. Now, if you are going to be a good supplicant and you have some assets like a prophecy, something God said that you received or that you are aware of, that can be a weapon that you can present before God and insist that his hand will have to move because he had uttered this counsel aforetime. Hallelujah. So the first thing we see there is a prophecy. A prophecy is a mighty tool for supplication. Once and again, as I rise up to pray for Benue, I remember the prophecies of men like Elton, of all the states, the corridors in the Federation. That prophecy unveiled how that the hand of God, the avalanche of the Spirit, was going to visit this corridor. And there was something of the end time revival that is going to find expression here. I'm talking about a homegrown apostolic movement, not an imported spiritual explosion, but a homegrown apostolic movement. And this place was one of the choice places that was unveiled by that prophecy. And it is a veritable tool to lay hold of assets like prophecies if we intend to bring God to remembrance on several issues and occasion the manifestation of his sovereignty. So as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers. A promise can also be such a tool with which you can advance your supplication. My question to you today is, has God made a promise to you? Hallelujah. Baris Ogbe, has God made a promise to you? I remember those days. On the 13th day of January 2003, I had an encounter with God. And the encounter was so strong, and it was retained. The substance of the encounter was retained, such that when I went back to my study, I could pick up a pen and a paper, and I wrote it down the same way I received it. That encounter I had was one of the first encounters in the string of encounters that God gave me to shape my future. Because if God starts getting serious with you, one of the things he does is that he begins to give you direction. And the direction God gives you may not be consistent with the perspective of the world in terms of success, in terms of advancement. But God's sovereign involvement in the life of an individual to begin to give him direction is an indication of the fact that God has interest in your outcome. So I had an encounter with God. And part of the objects of this encounter was that God said I should not go into full-time ministry at the time, that He will give me a job. Meanwhile, I was not praying for a job. I was praying for God to show me what ministry to join, because all this while God has been haunting me, telling me about ministry, showing me crusades, showing me teaching. So I was not saying, okay, I'm ready for that thing that you were saying you wanted to do. And then God now shows up and I said, you will not go into full-time ministry now. I'll give you a job. What kind of stuff is that? Hallelujah. Well, when He said that, I could remind Him, anytime I was discouraged, that I don't understand how you are leading me again. I can always remind Him and say, you know, I was sitting on my own. I was very comfortable. You were the one that came and committed yourself and said, you will do this and you will do that. And you see, God is not a man that He should lie. He's not a son of man that He should repent. There's no situation that is so big that God will now have to say, oh, did I say that? No, God has the power to deliver. If God has spoken to you, His word is His covenant. Yes, and you can hold Him by His word. So one of the most critical spiritual tools that we can have is a promise from God. Because God, destiny is not a function of time, it's a function of encounter. The relics that you derive when God passes by becomes a tool in your hand to move His hand subsequently, because He has a nature that is not a God that can lie, neither is He the Son of Man that is subject to change His mind. When God speaks, His words become law, and He Himself, because He has exalted His word above His name, He Himself becomes subject to the things that He has said. So God cannot say and then tell you tomorrow that He forgot. No, that's not how He works. He's a God of integrity. So a promise given to you is a tool, is a platform for transaction. And every supplicant must understand the import and the potency of a promise when you bring it before the Lord and ask Him for a performance. You know, the Bible says, blessed is he that believeth. For there shall be what? A performance, not of everything, but of the thing that the Lord has told her. It means that which God has told you, there is bound to be a performance. And so when it looks as if that which God has told you is falling to the ground, you have the right to present it to God and say, this is a token of your commitment. This is a promise that you have made. And I'm bringing this promise back to you that you might look upon it and show me mercy. Hallelujah. And guess what? In the fullness of time, on the first day of June 2004, God fulfilled His promise. He gave me a job that I did not attend the aptitude test. You know, first of all, the first stage was aptitude test stage. Then after aptitude test stage, if you survive that stage, you come to the interview stage. If you survive that stage, before the employment stage, you can even pass the interview and fail them. Your letter doesn't come out, because, hallelujah. Now, I did not do the aptitude test. And I remember one of my friends who was my classmate in the university, he did the aptitude test. And they were the ones running around doing aptitude tests. When they finished doing the aptitude test, my name came out. I know you will not believe that. Well, but it's not, whether you believe it or not, now it doesn't change anything anymore. My name came out on the list that I did not do aptitude tests. So when someone said they saw my name on the list, number 144, I should go there and check. Came to Abuja, went to the place. I was on 144. Glory. That was how I joined the train for the interview. And I went for the interview. We were like six people in the interview hall, and the guy that was close to me had a lot of documents. He was reading. I was just coming from the mission field. In fact, if you if you If you ask me who was the minister of petroleum that time, I would. And that guy that was by me had document, plenty documents. So I wanted to take one and read. When I touched it, he looked at me and shook. So I knew that it was not a very good day. When we entered into the hall, the only question I knew was the question that was asked that guy. And since the guy read industrial chemistry, I read chemistry. So the guy was the first guy on this side. I was next to him. They asked him a question that had to do with chemistry. He failed. And that was the only question I knew. Then they asked me the same question. Say, okay, you also read chemistry. Oh, yeah. Go on with the question. They asked me that question. Then I sat down. You know, when you... I sat down very well. Oh, my God. I conjured all the English language I had gathered from primary school, secondary school, and I delivered it. The three wise men on the table, they now adjusted their glasses. Look, that was how I passed the interview. And my man, with all, he went back with his papers. I went back with the employment. God brought his word to pass. Meanwhile, and he brought his word to pass 1 year, 8 months later. 1 year, 2 months later, I was discouraged that, Kai, is it true what God told? Then I now went back to prayer. I started presenting it to God. It was supplication. Are you with me? You can enhance your negotiation by drawing out a promise that God has given you. Remember, God cannot lie. Cannot lie. Cannot lie. And guess what? The same God that gave me that employment now told me recently, it's time to resign. You know, the same way I trusted him when he gave me the employment, I still trust him much more now because I know him much more now that there is something greater than what I went through that God is about to release me into. Something greater in his kingdom, greater in his agenda that is about to break forth now, for which I need to live. In fact, compared to that thing, I'm in bondage. So you say, come on. Now, so a promise can be a very strong tool in your negotiation language as you seek to move the hand of God in your direction. Hallelujah. There's another factor here. There are two other factors. I don't want to take so much time on this because I have a presentation that I would like to make for the evening. To perform his mercy promise unto our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore unto our father Abraham. We have two things there, a covenant and an oath. A covenant. Now, because of God's integrity, are you with me? Because of God's integrity, if God should come to you and say, Reverend Hills, I will make you great. That utterance that God has made is a covenant. Are you with me? It's a covenant. And the reason why I will not explain is because I don't have time. Because of God's integrity. God's word is as good as his covenant. It's as good as his covenant. If God speaks to you, anything he tells you is his agreement with you. He has no agreement with you here if he has not given you a personal word. But if he gives you a personal word, the implication is that God is offering you something. And in order to ensure that you receive that which he's offering, he goes an extra mile to ensure that you don't miss what he is giving to you. Is that clear? Now, so in a covenant, God takes responsibility to ensure that you receive what he's given. But if God as much as gives you a word, he has put himself in a state that has made him to bring his counsel to pass in your life. And these are tools that we can engage when we are supplicating before God. So that's what we mean by the language of supplication.